All right, welcome back to another episode of Coop Encounters. I am your host, Dr. Joe Cooperman. This is episode number 5, I believe, and I was out in Sacramento, and I decided to take some time to chat with a really good friend of mine, Dr. Daniel Sines. He's also a fellow chiropractor, sports therapist, overall great guy. I really think that you guys are going to enjoy what he has to say. And this one's really meant for people out in Sacramento that know me and used to get treated by me. I think this is a good introduction to you getting to know Dan. You know, he and I refer a lot of patients back and forth, and now that I'm no longer there, I just highly recommend that you guys start seeing him as a nice replacement to what you used to get from me. I think you're going to find a lot of similarities between the way we practice. And he's a pretty intelligent dude. I really like chatting with him, and over the years we've really gotten to know each other really well. I think his opinion is great. I kind of tried getting him to go off the rails a little bit, and I think it was interesting. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Please like, subscribe, leave us a review, keep sending in messages on what you guys want to hear about. I've got some new direction that I think I want to go with this podcast, and stay tuned for what we're going to do with that, and I'll give you some more updates along the way. So without further ado, Dan Sines, here we go.
I want to start off.
We'll start this off like this. We're out here in the lovely, sunny Sacramento with none other than DJ Dan Sines, my good friend, chiropractor. Tell people who you are.
Yeah, so I'm Dan. I keep things pretty informal in my clinic and in my personal life. Yes, I'm a sports chiropractor. I live out in the hills, but I practice in Sacramento. I'm a sports chiropractor, I guess, if you want to categorize it. But other than that, it's like, I just enjoy working out, enjoy strength training, and I enjoy working in the profession of healthcare.
Cool. Why don't you tell people what you were doing before you went into chiropractic school? Because I think it's pretty neat.
So through undergrad and much of my childhood, I got involved in music, whether it is, playing in bands or doing more dance music. And so I worked in some recording studios for a bit and had a record deal with a big company out of New York. So producing dance music primarily.
Sweet. You had a banger too. Tell people the banger. They've got to know.
Yeah, so we had a couple songs that did pretty well on dance radio. Like Sirius was pretty big for us for a bit. But it's one of those things. It's like I enjoyed it, but like I didn't feel like that's where my future needed to be. It's like I wanted to do something different. I wanted more. And so I think that's kind of through undergrad. Like I didn't really know what else I wanted to do, but growing up in a family of chiropractic, it was always something that like I had thought about. Mm-hmm. And so I think, as I went through and kind of did a lot of this stuff in the music industry, I just got really jaded just because I didn't enjoy the business of it. It's like I enjoyed making music and being a part of that, but the business side of it, I think it pulled a lot of the fun out of it. And so I think that was a point when I kind of decided, okay, I need to do something different. And so that's when I decided to go to chiropractic school and kind of follow that. And, my brother's a chiropractor, my mother is a chiropractor. And so that was kind of like the family deal that, I'd always thought about, but, I got a little sidetracked with music in undergrad and growing up, so.
Cool. So that's what brought you to Palmer West.
So that is how I ended up in San Jose, for better or worse.
Yeah. So Dan and I, for the viewers here that don't know me at a personal level, or Dan and I went to school together. And we actually, when I moved to Sacramento, I remember telling you when I was in, when we were in clinic, I was like, dude, I think I'm going to move to Sacramento. Where should I live? And he was like, oh, you should come live with me and my brother. And so Dan's the only person that I knew moving out there. And it was pretty cool to like, how his family took me in, and I'm super thankful for that, and probably always will be forever. So it was pretty neat to kind of get to know Dan here and his brother, his mother, his father, everybody close to them. So anyhow, we're gonna get forward on this thing. Today we're gonna talk a little bit about scope of practice in multiple professions and what that means. And so I think it's important that our listeners understand, like, who do you go see for what issue or what condition or what it might, whatever it might be, or what are they allowed to do to you? So I run into this problem a lot, and it grinds my gears when I hear that, you know, so-and-so tried doing this thing to me, but it didn't really work out, so that's why I'm here to see you, because I know you, this is what you do every single day. And it's like, well, what do they do? And then I hear that their profession is something that they're not allowed to do, that kind of thing. So why don't you kind of touch on what it is, that a scope of practice of what a chiropractor is, because that's our background, so we can nail that pretty easily.
Yeah, so I think, you know, when you look at all these different professions, and it's like, when do I see a massage therapist, or when do I see a chiropractor or a medical doctor? The thing that I think most people don't understand is, you know, is this a serious injury that needs to be addressed? You know, is this something that is just some aches and pains that'll probably get better with time? And I think most people don't navigate that that whole process very well. And so I think with chiropractors, there's such a wide range of what chiropractors do. It's like, there's just so much kind of division within the profession that I think the general population doesn't even know what we do for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the problem. And so I think, you know, with chiropractic care, you know, there's a lot of practitioners that treat a wide range of conditions, whether it's like aches and pains or, you know, neck and back pain. You know, there's people that kind of treat things like asthma and, you know, more generalized conditions. And I think that's, it's just, I don't think it does the profession well when everything is in such like disarray.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of difficult to find exactly, you know, what does a chiropractor do, because things have changed so much over time. You know, historically speaking, when you think of chiropractic care, if you think of, you know, spinal manipulation or, you know, chiropractic adjustments, and, you know, most people view that as, okay, I have neck and back pain, you know, let's go see a chiropractor. But it's like, chiropractors treat so many other conditions, but it's like the general population just doesn't understand that. So I guess my question for you too would be, you know, why are there different types of chiropractors? It's like, when you have an injury, when should you see a chiropractor?
So I look at it as this way. I think that when we went through school, and I'm gonna kind of leave a little bit of philosophy out of this part of it, is that when we went through school, we learned a lot about the musculoskeletal system. All chiropractors are going to get exposed to that same style of education. And now, how well did they learn it? That's individual. But I in general, I would say that chiropractors are pretty darn good at figuring out how to help the musculoskeletal system. I think it's very, very, I think it's a poor choice to show up to your general practitioner, your MD, with some sort of injury that you just sustained in the gym or going for a long run, because they're not trained to actually treat that. They're trained to make sure you're not going to fall over, croak and die. So they're looking for heart attacks. They're looking for something that's going to cue them to refer you this person to someone else, a specialist. And so I think that if you go see a chiropractor for, let's say, like you tripped and fell and now your lower back is kind of aching and hurting and you want to figure it out, like, what is this? And it's not too hard to diagnose a muscular strain or ligamentous sprain or maybe even like a disc injury. It's not that challenging. You don't need an MRI to confirm those things. Does it help confirm it? Sure. But, you know, it's not the end all be all. And so I think that with how you're describing that everybody comes out with this different background, that you don't know what you're going to walk into. And so I think that really comes down to practitioner based, and then now philosophy comes into play. So if you came and saw me, I'm going to look at it from more of this little sports background, you know, strength and conditioning background. I understand the mechanics of the falling mechanism, or I understand the mechanics of a squat mechanism. I know what can go wrong in those things. And so, but then you send this person to, let's say, someone who doesn't understand exercise that well, or doesn't understand the body that great. And they just say, I'm just going to adjust you the same way I adjust every single person. And, you know, 5 times out of 10, it tends to work pretty darn well. So we're just going to do that. And so that's just more of a skill as a clinician. And I like to think that the people that came out of our school got really good schooling. And so I tend to look for that sports background if I am going to refer a patient somewhere into a different state, city, or if someone reaches out and says, hey, who should I go see? It's like, well, I don't really know very many people over there. This is how we screen them. And so I just call. I call those offices and I hear the doctor talk and I hear what they say. And when they get really like, what's myofascial release? You know, I just had that conversation with the DC in my area.
Right.
And I was like, okay, probably not going to send this person to you. So no big deal. But I think it could get a little challenging for someone to figure out who do I go see for that. I mean, I think that you want to look for a diagnosis. You go see a chiro or you go see your MD because that's within our scope of practice. It's to diagnose those things and say, this is what it is. This is what we believe it to be. And this is how we're going to treat it.
You know, I think you bring up a good point. I think one of the most important things you can do when, you know, looking for a provider is do your research. It's like, you know, not all doctors, you know, physical therapists, chiropractors are created equal. And it's not necessarily that ones are better than the other, which, you know, I think that is also, you know, a major factor. But the way that they address things, you know, different issues is so different. It's like traditionally chiropractors, it's like, you know, they do neck and back pain. And, you know, if you have a knee problem, it's like they're going to give you the same flying seven where it's like they go through, they adjust the exact same way on every patient. And it's like, you know, that may work if somebody has neck or back pain, but it's like if you have a true knee problem, it's like adjusting somebody the same way is you're not going to get results. And so I think that's so critical when looking for somebody is finding somebody that has, you know, a solution or has, you know, some sort of skill set to address the thing that's, you know, bothering you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, especially within chiropractic, it's like there's such a wide range of skill sets when it comes to things outside of spinal injuries that, you know, you really have to do your research.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's also one thing that's very difficult, I think, for some people to figure out. There's so many techniques out there. There's, you know, all this soft tissue work, whether it's like active release techniques or, you know, grassed in, like any sort of scraping techniques. And I don't think people even understand what a lot of that stuff does. You know, they see this stuff on grass or on Instagram and it's like, oh, you know, do you guys do scraping? And it's like, I hate the term scraping because it's like, it's almost like derogatory because it's like people don't understand it, but, you know, they see this very kind of exciting thing on some video on some fitness guy and it's like, oh, I want that. It's like, you know, I don't care what's wrong with me. It's like, but that's the treatment I need.
Yeah.
And
or cupping.
Yeah. It's like any sort of thing like that. It's like, and when a patient comes in and this is exactly what they want, but they don't understand what's actually going on with their body, I think it's difficult to kind of to choose the solution to your problem if you don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. And it's like kind of like when someone comes in and says, I need an adjustment. And that might not be the right thing to do at that time. So it's like one of the things that we learned while we're in school is when's the right time and when's the wrong time to manipulate.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and I luckily have I've seen that before. And I was trained to be able to identify, I shouldn't touch this. You know, I'm gonna take a step back and I'm actually gonna do what's right, which is refer to somebody who's smarter than me and might understand what's going on with this person because this doesn't seem normal to me after so many people I've touched and so many people I've examined. And it's like these things just don't add up.
And I think as a practitioner, it's like the longer you've been in the game, it's like when you see the same kind of stuff over and over, and something doesn't feel right, like it seems different, it usually is. And it's like you're usually missing something. And so I think that's important. It's like, you know, not every person has the solution to every problem. And so if you have a problem referring out and sending them to somebody else, it's like that's a major issue because it's like you're gonna make a lot of big mistakes. And the person that's gonna suffer from that is the patient, ideally.
Yeah, definitely. And like going back to a little bit towards like what scope is, and so it means the things that we can and can't do. So like if someone came to me with an open wound and they said, hey, I need this stitched up. It's like, yeah, I agree with you. You need that stitched up.
But it's like, I'm not the guy to do it.
Yeah, I don't do those things.
Have I seen it before? Yeah, of course I've seen it before. And I've watched a lot of people get stitched. That doesn't mean I'm going to stitch them. That's not a part of my scope of practice. That's illegal.
Right.
And so, you know, like, but if they need some sort of therapeutic exercise, they need some sort of like touch therapy, you know, like working on the muscles or working on the ligaments or whatever it might be, or adjusting or doing some sort of manipulation, that's within my scope. I can do those things. If I want to do performance care, I want to train someone, I could do that. That's part of my scope of practice. That's why I went to school. That's why we paid a lot of money to get that little license that says DC, and we got tested over it. So you have to pass the test, you have to pay to play the game. And, you know, and like physical therapists, right? You got doctors of physical therapy that can, they can do very, very, very similar things to us.
And,
you know?
And the difference between PTs and chiropractors now is, it's vastly different than how things were in the past. I mean, nowadays, like the similarities between them, as far as scope of practice goes, I mean, they're very similar at this point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's a great point. It's like, you know, what is the difference between a PT and a chiropractor? And I think a good chiropractor and a good PT should look pretty similar.
I agree. And I think that when it comes to like the legalities of things, it depends on the state that they're in, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to look this up later, but I'm pretty sure that doctors of physical therapy are kind of constrained from diagnosing.
They can diagnose musculoskeletal complaints.
Okay. And then as far as referring for imaging, they can refer for imaging, whereas a chiropractor can do the imaging.
As far as I know, you might be right with that. Yeah.
And so that's the glaring difference.
Right. And in the past too, in the past, physical therapy was not a doctorate level program. Mm-hmm. It was only a master's program. And I think that that's just changed in the past, like
a couple years.
Yeah. Five, 6 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so before too, it's like, if you wanted to see a physical therapist, you had to have a doctor's referral. Mm-hmm. And now, physical therapy, they have direct access to patients. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you have an issue, you can go directly to the physical therapist.
Yeah.
Which I think is exactly what the profession needed.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think with all these changes, I think the difference between chiropractic and physical therapy, you know, the lines have blurred. And I think it's a good thing. You know, there's been this longstanding, like, hatred for each other just for years and years. And, like, I feel like a lot of that stuff is really not necessary.
I agree.
You know, chiropractors have always been, you know, like the redheaded stepchild, if you want to call it that. But it's like, you know, we've done things differently. We've wanted to be different. It's and with physical therapy, they're a little bit more kind of, they fit within the medical model, and chiropractors have always tried to be outside of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think with that sort of thing, you know, what is the actual difference between the two? So from an education standpoint, I mean, we can start there.
Yeah.
So, with physical therapy, they generally focus on a lot more corrective exercise. You know, that's, I think, a big primary focus of physical therapy school. Mm-hmm. And chiropractors, within school, it's more of a focus on, you know, manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, primarily spinal manipulation. But, you know, most schools nowadays are teaching a ton of extremity things, and, you know, they're implementing a lot more corrective exercise and that side of things. And PTs are doing more manipulations now than ever.
Yeah.
And what's crazy too is, you know, if you look at the history of physical therapists, a lot of them have been anti-manipulation for many, many years. And if you talk to any sort of, like, you know, chiropractors that have been around, that's been the complaint. It's like PTs have complained about manipulation being dangerous and things like that. And now it's like, you know, all the research that we've been doing and people have kind of been putting forth is showing how safe it is.
Yeah, and effective.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, chiropractic, it's been around for a long time, and it's like for a reason, because it works. You know, it's very effective at clearing up, you know, certain conditions. And it's like, regardless of people getting arrested for practicing medicine without a license, which is what used to happen with chiropractors, mm-hmm. it's like it worked so well that they were able to kind of survive all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so with physical therapy nowadays, you know, they're teaching manipulation in schools now. So it's like there is benefit to it. And I think everybody's starting to realize that.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think that with the schooling aspect that you kind of talked about is that chiropractic school is starting to look a lot more similar to physical therapy school, and vice versa. Physical therapy school is starting to look a lot more like chiropractic school.
Absolutely.
And so it's really funny to see that, because what you just touched on is that battle, right? Is that little battle. Oh, no, we don't never get your neck adjusted. Never do this. It's like, man, those days are slowly going away, right? Very slowly. And, you know, when I have an MD or a patient that said their MD said, you know, oh, don't get your neck adjusted, you know, or don't do this, don't get adjusted ever. It's like, man, if they just read a little bit of research, just a little, they would see the obvious thing is that it's effective and that it helps. And now there's, you know, a little bit of skill that comes into play on each person that might be touching you. But in the end of the day, it's going to be a safe thing that's done from a professional. So let's transition from that to when someone's not a professional, or maybe what like certain things that like if I love massage therapy, I love personal trainers, I love all professions. But when somebody sends you somebody, and let's say you hear some things that might rattle you a little bit about, like when they say, "Oh, my T3 is a little bit to the right," like those kind of things. So how do you deal with that in your practice?
Well, you know, so my mother, a little background. So my mother, she's been in practice since 1979. And if you think about chiropractors back during that time period and historically, they followed more of these traditional views or philosophy where it's, you know, they thought of things being out of place. And that was very common practice to say, oh, you know, this bone is out of place. You know, subluxation is kind of like the big way that people described it. And, you know, I think the meaning of this stuff is kind of changing with time too. But I think the way most chiropractors described dysfunction with joints is, oh, you know, this joint is out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of chiropractors that still practice that way and still educate their patients. Oh yeah, you know, this was out, or your rib was out, you know, and you know, today's adjustment basically restored that alignment. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, using that kind of idea, you know, using the idea of alignment. I don't think I'm putting anything back in alignment. I don't think joints go out of place. You know, I think things become restricted. I think, you know, if you look at, you know, the vertebral column and the way the joints move, I think a segment can become restricted in some sort of plane of motion, whether it's rotation or flexion extension. So things like that, I think they can become restricted and have limited range of motion in certain directions. As far as being out of place, that's not the way that I look at it. I don't look at anything being out of place and me putting it back. I'm just restoring, you know, proper motion to a joint.
Yeah. And if something's actually out of place, then you probably tore some shit.
It's like there's a reason it's out of place. It's not just because, you know, you need an adjustment. Yeah. It's like, you know, something has been damaged and structurally it's unstable.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
It's very possible,
but it's like when that happens, I'm not the guy to see.
Yeah, you're not manipulating that spot.
No.
Yeah, it's probably going to put that person in a world of hurt. But again, that's something that would have to be assessed and figured out if that's truly what's going on with them. Right. Right? It's not like if someone feels that sensation, then it doesn't necessarily mean that they're destroyed. Like, because one of the most common anomalies of the spine is a crooked spinous process, which is the little thing that sticks out the back that you can see on everybody when they take their shirt off and bend over. And so it's like your palpation skills, yes, they might be decent, but at the same time, it might just be the way that person was born.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's my biggest problem with practitioners that use x-ray as the gold standard for evaluation. I think there's a place for it. I think there's a time and place for it, absolutely. And, you know, we have a digital x-ray in our office, and it's something that we use. I don't use it as often as a lot of people do. It's like, you know, if there's been major trauma, yeah, I think it's probably safe to take an x-ray. I think it's important. But I think just for the average person that comes in with neck or back pain, I'm probably not taking an x-ray because I don't think it's valuable. if I suspect something like is fractured or some sort of serious condition like that, then yeah, you have to determine if it's safe to treat somebody. But I think using it for evaluation of, you know, alignment or need for a chiropractic adjustment, I don't think it's a great tool. I think there's much better ways to assess somebody. And when I see patients come in with some of these films from other chiropractors where you see all these line markings where it's like, you know, they're drawing lines to show, you know, abnormal spinal curves and all this stuff. It's like, you know, I think it's a great way to kind of build trust, you know, with your patient so they trust what you're doing. Yeah. And it builds buy-in. But I think that's more of a marketing thing or like a business practice than it is for, you know, actually running a practice well. It's like, I don't think it's good patient care to take x-rays on every single patient.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays it's not technically even legal, but there's guys out there that take x-rays on every single patient and, you know, they show them these films and they scare them into treatment. Yeah. And it's like, I'm completely against that idea.
So what do you think what does a good practitioner look like? We'll say practitioner, like a chiro, PT, or even like I'm pretty sure we could throw ATCs into that category. Like what would that look like for somebody? What does a good one look like? What does the bad one look like?
I think that's a difficult question to answer. But I think the most important thing is it's, you know, something that a lot of people talk about. It's like choosing a practitioner that's outcome-based and not income-based. It's like if your business model has you x-raying every single patient because it makes you, you know, X amount of dollars more, mm-hmm. I think that's a major problem. Yeah. And so I think, you know, going through a proper evaluation of whatever it is and then putting together a proper game plan. So, you know, however that looks, you know, I think it depends, you know, practitioner to practitioner. And I think that's a little bit more difficult to answer in general. But I think finding somebody that doesn't, you know, do this, you know, run the same playbook on every single patient.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's true, too. I also think that, you know, like as far as what's the more common thing that people would run into, like with what you were describing is like, they say, we got to take this x-ray, and then they're going to scare you into, you need this treatment. Your curve, it's gone.
Right.
So you're going to need, you know, about 6 months of care. So like if it looks like that, I usually tell people, just say no thank you. Go to someone else. And you know, it's a bummer that guy practices that way because I totally disagree with that. And sure, does it help some people? I'm sure it does. But at the same time, I just think it's a bunch of bullshit that someone would say you have to pay upfront $10,000 for the next, you know, 6 months of care because that's the thing that's going to get your structure back into alignment, which they definitely don't know.
And that's, you know, that's an income-based, yeah, you know, treatment plan for that doctor. It's like, I think an easier question to answer would be, what are the red flags? You know, what things should you look for to know that, okay, this probably is not the best place to be? And, you know, I think depending upon what's going on with you, you know, what condition you have, you know, what kind of stuff you're experiencing, kind of changes a little bit. But I think as a whole, the things that I personally would avoid or tell my family to avoid is like, if you go into a clinic and the first thing they make you do is they make you sit through some healthcare or health class with a, you know, a bunch of other people, and it's like some doctor trying to, you know, give you the sales pitch on this is why you need care. It's like, I think that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, he's selling you something. And it's like, I don't think selling a plan or selling an idea is the best place to start when somebody needs help.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if they make you go to this class and, you know, the big thing they do too is like, okay, bring your spouse or bring your, you know, bring your family with you when you come to this class. And it's like, why do they do that? It's because they're trying to sell you something and they want the people that influence that decision to be there. So that way they can sell both of you.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that practice coaches and all these people that kind of coach doctors into having more successful businesses, they push on so many people, and that's why we, you know, we haven't used one. And it's for that reason. It's like, I don't want somebody to tell me how to treat my patients.
Yeah.
Like, I think I want to do what's best for my patients, and I don't want somebody who has a business mind to come in there and change my view or change the way that I would approach something for an income-based reason.
Yeah.
And so I think things like that are a problem. You know, when somebody x-rays every single patient, I think that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those I was going to touch on that too, and you nailed it with the health talk. And I look at that as, you know, it's funny because like the patient's already there. There, you don't need to, you don't need to be sold on anything. You're there for help. It's like, I'm already here. I'm about to pay you for this service. Help me. Right. You don't like, I don't know. It just seems like they're taking advantage of an opportunity and just trying to fatten up that wallet.
And I think, you know, when you look at a lot of these practices, they run the same playbook on everybody. It's like, I need to see you 3 times a week for 4 weeks. And then after that, we're going to go 2x a week for 4 weeks. And then 1x a week. It's like every condition's different.
Yeah.
So how is it the same treatment plan applies to every condition? It doesn't. And it's like, I think that's my problem with us. It's like, you can't have the same solution to every problem. It's like, it has to be individualized. And I think that's the way healthcare should be. It should be individualized. You can't do the same thing for everybody.
Yeah. So what makes you tick? What makes you like just ultimate angry? Like this is the thing that's going to get me. And it makes you feel like you need to text me. and get on that hate train.
I think there's a lot of things that I think I'm not a huge fan of. There's a lot of things that kind of irritate me within this profession, whether it's, you know, within the chiropractic profession or just healthcare in general. It's like when a patient comes in and tells you that they had some sort of experience, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that just like drives me nuts. It's like, oh, I went to my medical doctor and, you know, they told me that I have to stop working out. It's like, you know, if they're a competitive athlete, you know, I don't think that's a good solution. It's like, you know, help me get past this injury. Help me, you know, help me get some sort of, you know, game plan together to address this condition or this problem. So that way I can kind of get back to the stuff that I love doing. It's like, if I'm a professional athlete, it's like, I need to kind of get back in the game. And it's like, you telling me to not do that does not help me in any way.
Yeah. It's not conducive at all.
No, the only thing that does is it makes me not want to come back and see you.
Yeah.
And so a huge percentage of my patients come in with that. And I think that's kind of what makes, you know, our clinic a little bit different from other clinics is, you know, I focus primarily on, you know, strength and fitness related injuries. And it's like, I'm never going to tell a patient to not work out or to not, you know, do the thing that they love. It's like, yeah, I think in certain situations we need to change what they're doing. We need to adapt or kind of work around different things that they're doing to prevent, you know, aggravating a condition. But I think it's important that you keep your kind of focus on what their goals are, not what your goals are. Yeah. It's like, it's not just about getting them healthy. It's about, you know, what are their goals from treatment? Is it just get pain free? Is it, you know, be able to perform better? And I think those things a lot of people don't really care about.
Yeah. I mean, I ask every single one of my patients, it's on my intake form, what are your goals? And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be pain free or better mobility, one right. of the two. And it's very rarely that someone writes down, I'm trying to PR my deadlift, you know, or trying to back squat this number. I'm trying to do a 5K by the end of next month. So I dig a little bit. While I'm working on them, I say, so what are your goals? And I said, outside of you being pain-free, like, what are you trying to do? Is there something that you have your eyes set on? Like health, fitness, shoot, are you trying to read multiple books? Like what? Right. What is it? And then it comes out, and it's like, okay, cool. Write that on the board, and now I'm like, this is our goal. Our goal is not to get you pain free, because that's going to happen. But we want to get you to that. I want to come up with a nice little plan to help you get there, pain free.
Right.
So it's like, I try to get a little deeper on those goals because I think that's important. If you have no light at the end of the tunnel, then what's all that work for?
Right.
You know, like, if you're going to go to the gym, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to get healthy. I'm, you know, doctor told me I need to lose 45 pounds because I'm close to being diabetic or something weird, right? You name the condition. And that's what gets someone motivated. It's like, I'm trying to change my body. I'm trying to do something good for myself,
right?
Or I'm trying to get stronger.
And you know, I think that's a good point too. It's, I think it's about empowering your patients too. It's not just about, you know, getting them feeling better and things like that. It's like giving them the tools to kind of, to not only help themselves, but to feel better about, you know, whatever it is their goals. It's like when somebody comes in and sees me and, you know, they have some set of goals, like I want to get them to those goals. And so I think until you really focus on what that is, I think it's difficult to even connect with them on a level without actually sitting down and thinking about it. It's like, what can I do to get this person there?
What do you think made you decide that you wanted to be a little more, I guess I call it goal-oriented, or getting people to think along the lines of having an achievement of some sort? Like what made you, what influenced that part of your treatment? Like, what do you think that was? Was there like something that happened in school, something that happened even prior, or something your experience getting worked on or anything like that?
I don't know if there was like a specific event or anything that kind of led me to that. I think the more I learned about the profession and the way things are kind of done, I just saw that there was a need for something different. And so I think that's kind of where I've spent a lot of time, is trying to figure out, okay, you know, what other skill set can I kind of add to what I'm doing to be able to address things in a different way? And I think everybody approaches, or there's a vast majority of people that kind of approach things from a similar mindset. And I want to be able to approach things a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to be the same exact practitioner as the guy next door to me. There's like 50 chiropractors in my like area. And so it's like, you know, what makes me different? Like, what, I don't want to do the same exact thing, address the same kind of conditions as everybody around me. So I think that's kind of where I've spent my time, is developing additional skill sets to basically set what I do apart, and not necessarily making it better, but just being able to address complaints in a different way.
Mm-hmm. So your practice has some fun gadgets and gizmos. When would you... Because people will come into, I'm sure people come into your office and say, oh, laser therapy, what's that? Or shockwave, what does that even mean? So this might even be some new words for people listening in right now. So what? How would you describe those things, and when would be an appropriate time for people to even seek such a care?
And, you know, there's a million different medical kind of devices out there, technologies. And I think the problem is there's so many out there that are not super effective. It makes it difficult to determine what, you know, you need as a patient. So it's like, if you're looking up, okay, I have back pain, it's like, what type of treatment do I need? There's so many options out there. And so that's one of the things that we've done a lot of research on. It's like, okay, you know, what can we add to our treatment that's going to, you know, speed up the process or be able to address conditions a little bit differently? And I think that's one of those things that's difficult to navigate as a practitioner. It's like somebody's always calling to sell us something. There's some new technology that's out and it's, you know, revolutionary and it's going to change the game. And it's like, most of the time it's not. It's the same shit, just repackaged. Mm-hmm. So it's like, laser's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's a huge, you know, spectrum of the quality of lasers. It's like you can buy, you know, cheap lasers on Alibaba for nothing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, how is that different than some of the lasers you spent $30,000 on? And I think a lot of that is just the tech that goes into it. And I think it's difficult for some people to figure that stuff out. But what we've done is basically we've done a lot of research on trying to figure out what we need. You know, what can we add to our toolbox to improve the outcome of patients? And so laser is one of the things that we've used. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been using laser for probably about 10 years. And over time, we've upgraded. We started off with like a very low level laser, which got great results. But we eventually added higher power lasers, and the results are vastly different. It's like, once we started using class 4 lasers, it's like a completely different treatment. It's like, it feels different. The outcomes are so different. And so I think that's kind of one of the things. It's just, you really have to do your research and figure out, you know, where the good stuff is and where the bad stuff is.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing for people to know.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, it, cause there's, it, lasers are really high powered infrared light. you know? And so you can easily just be reading on the internet and think like, oh, well, this is a laser, this should help me. And maybe at some degree it might, but if you're walking in with some sort of issue, and this kind of goes back to the point is, you know, I learned one super, super valuable thing from the practice that I used to be in at Geiger Chiropractic. He was so skilled at talking to patients, Ron. And one thing that he was really good at was pleasing people. And if he ever got frustrated with a treatment because someone would come in and tell him what to do, he would let them do that multiple times. And he would charge them, right? They're getting this treatment and he would charge them. And then eventually they would complain, like, why is this not getting better? And he would stare them dead in the eye and say, your results highly depend on who plays doctor in this position, in this scenario. Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Right.
Because you truly don't know what's going on with your body. You don't know what I'm looking for when right. I'm touching you. And so they're like, oh yeah, that's the spot. It's like, sure, it's a sore spot. That doesn't mean it needs treatment.
Right.
It's just sore. And so I really respected him for doing that. And I was like, I thought it was funny that he always waited to do it. But at the same time, it's like, at least he did it.
Right.
And it went one of two ways. Either he treated that person, they never came back, or they continued to come. Right. And he would get the result he was looking for. And
and that's, you know, that's not really a game that, you know, you want to play. It's like,
exactly.
You know, so many people come in, you know, saying, oh, I want cupping because, you know, I saw Michael Phelps had it done. Mm-hmm. It's like, you should not be dictating your care. You are not an expert in this. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's a wise choice to allow your patients to do that. I think it's your responsibility to determine what's best for them. Yeah. You know, you can take those things into account if they want soft tissue work, if they want some sort of specialized treatment, take that into account. But I don't think you should allow them to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like your results and your reputation are on the line. So it's like allowing your patient to choose that. One, it's not good for you and it's not good for business.
Yeah. Yeah, I always try to tell people, I'm like, I'm here to help you. This is the best advice I can give you. This is how I've seen this a million times. You want to go rogue and you want to do your own thing? That's cool. Do it. It's not going to work very well. But you want to listen to me? I can get you there. I can get you back to feeling great. You just got to follow the rules, follow the game plan. If this was like something really serious with their body, you know, where it was like some sort of systemic disease and they were freaked out, then they would probably listen. But when it comes to musculoskeletal injuries and weird pains and aches, it's really not the biggest deal in the world. It just makes you feel kind of crummy and shitty.
Right. Well, I mean, natural history, it's like you give anything like, you know, 8 weeks to kind of just do its thing. It's like most things are going to see improvement. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it may not fully resolve, but after, you know, 8 or 12 weeks, most conditions are going to feel better.
Yeah.
And it's like the things that don't resolve, it's like, okay, I probably need treatment at this point. I need to address this better.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, it's like your body is phenomenal at healing. It's like, you know, I don't heal anybody. It's like there's no practitioner that heals you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you provide some sort of improvement in the biomechanics or, you know, some sort of biochemical, you know, thing that's going on. But it's like your body's doing all the work.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big problem, too, is like people like to claim that, oh, you know, I got this person better. I healed this person. It's like you didn't heal shit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think
but you changed my physiology.
But I think the other thing too is, you know, there's different practitioners and the way they address things is completely different. So it's like, you know, I refer out a lot. I refer to other chiropractors. I refer to physical therapists. You know, I refer to massage therapists. And I think the important thing is you need to know your place.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't personally treat children. It's like I treat some younger kids, but like infants and things like that, I just choose not to treat because it's not what I'm good at. It's mm-hmm. like I'm not an expert in that. And so I think it's important that you can't try to be the best at everything. It's like there's an old saying. It's like a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I like to think of chiropractors as specialists. It's like we're very good at a few things. It's like if you have, you know, something else going on, it's like your medical doctor knows a little bit about a lot of conditions. Mm-hmm. It's like, but when it comes to evaluating certain things, they just don't have the experience or the training to do some things well. And one of the things is, you know, diagnosis of musculoskeletal complaints. Mm-hmm. It's like they're good at some things, but it's like, you know, taking you through these very specific like stability kind of patterns or movement patterns. It's like they don't have the time, and they don't have the experience to really do that well. And it's like, because they don't have the intervention either.
Yeah. And they also didn't go to school for that.
No,
that's not why they went to school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important. You have to understand the person that you're going to. It's like, what are they good at, and why am I going to them?
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to a massage therapist for all of your injuries, you're making a huge mistake. And it's not because they're not good manual therapists. It's because they aren't trained in assessment. Mm-hmm. They can't diagnose you. They can't take you through any sort of orthopedic or neurological evaluation to determine what's going on. It's like, if they push on your shoulder and it's like, oh, it's sore there, it's like, okay, no shit. But it's like, that doesn't mean that they know what's wrong with the shoulder, and it doesn't mean that, you know, 90 minutes of aggressive massage is going to fix it.
Yeah.
In some situations, yeah, it may feel better. It's like, you know, you improve somebody's, you know, range of motion in their shoulder by massaging it. It's like, yeah, some things will get better, but it's like, some things won't. Some things are going to get a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everything is a bicep. That's the way I look at that.
And not everything's, you know, if a muscle's sore, it's like, that's, you know, the problem isn't necessarily there. It's like, you know, I love massage therapy. You know, I've worked with some phenomenal therapists. And it's something that I do, you know, not like on a regular basis, but from time to time. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I've heard countless times, it's like, oh, okay, you know, is that sore there? It's like, okay, you know, that's where your problem's coming from. It's like, okay, I have a torn labrum. How is my hip the problem? It's like, you know, I've seen the MRI, I've seen the tear, I know how it happened. So it's like, the fact that my glute is sore has nothing to do with why my shoulder hurts today. Yeah. It's like, the labrum's torn.
And it's aggravated today.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like, if you dig your elbow into, you know, my glute or some muscle, is it sore? It's like, yeah, you're putting a shit ton of pressure on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that it builds buy-in for what they're doing too. People love that. It's like, when you push on something, it hurts, and you tell them why, that's why they're in pain. It's like, yeah, they're going to believe you a lot of times if they don't have a background in it.
Yeah, that's true. So it's just kind of escaped me. Shit. That was such a, it was going to be kind of get you on your hate train.
But I mean, the other thing too is, you know, is there a time and place for massage? It's like, absolutely. I think, you know, when somebody comes into my office and, you know, they're super sore, you know, from competing in some CrossFit event, or, you know, they've been training hard and like something is really sore and like, they're just hurting everywhere. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like, you know, I'll work on you, I'll adjust you, I'll do some soft tissue work. But it's like, you know, in some situations, it's like, if you're just sore and you need some help, it's like, go see a massage therapist.
Yeah, spend the hour and a half doing that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't have an hour and a half to spend with you. And I don't think you should be looking for a practitioner or a chiropractor that will spend an hour and a half with you. It's like, you have to look at, you know, what is the goal? It's like, if you're just looking to kind of feel better, it's like, go see a massage therapist.
Yeah.
It's like, the other problem too is, you know, a lot of people, they look at what you do based on time. My treatments are not necessarily based on time. There are kind of time windows, but it's like, it's not necessarily, it's like, okay, for the X amount of dollars, you get so many minutes. It's like, that's not how, I don't think that's how it should be. You know, with massage, it's always been that way. But, you know, when you spend on a massage versus what you spend at your chiropractor, it's like, they're completely different things. And it's like, I don't think you compare the two.
Yeah. That's a phenomenal point. The time-based care thing is, it's interesting. And I think another good point to make, like, as far as what kind of practitioner should we be looking for, is like, there's a really odd trend that I notice is like, and it might not be just chiros or physical therapists, but it's people that are just sitting there and educating. And I thought that was I think that's kind of odd. It's like, if there's a skill when we came out of school that if someone said you're only allowed to do one tool that you've learned from school, manipulation, soft tissue, rehab, dry needling, name the therapy, the one that I would always pick is manipulation, chiropractic manipulation.
It's why we went to school for
it. It's why we went to school. It's the thing that makes us unique. And so I think it's crazy that sometimes I hear about a DPT or a DC that just sits there and educates a patient for an hour on how to foam roll their body because they're stiff in certain areas and they don't even put their hands on somebody. It's like, that's knucking futs.
And, you know, I think that's a good point too. It's like, you know, what should you be looking for from a treatment? It's education, I think, is important. It's very valuable. But at the end of the day too, it's like when somebody comes in and sees you, it's like they want to feel better.
You got to put your hands on them.
It's like they want to leave your office feeling better. And so, you know, on my first visit, I always treat. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. That's another one. It's like if you look at some of these income-based practitioners, they don't treat on the first visit. Why? Because they want to do a report of findings on the next visit. So it's like, let me read, you know, your films and put together all this stuff. So when you come back on the second visit, I'll fully understand your case. It's like, that's bullshit. They didn't do shit since you were gone.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great point. So not only should you be treating, it's like, educating, I think, is important. And I think that's something that I do on every visit with every patient. It's like I try to get them feeling better and I try to give them the tools so they can work on something on their own.
Yeah.
It's like if I only see you once a week, you know, what are you going to be doing in between then? It's like I'm not going to see you three times a week because that's not how I practice. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see somebody three times a week.
Yeah.
And so it's like I would rather treat you less frequently and give you as much stuff as I can to work on. So corrective exercise, you know, if it's some sort of stretching, if I think that's going to be beneficial for some reason, things like that. It's like let's work on something every single day rather than just relying on your practitioner to get you feeling better.
So what, change of pace, what is Movement Matters? And why did you come up with that? And kind of, you know, because your practice is called Epic Chiropractic and Sports Therapy, right?
Yes.
So what's Movement Matters?
So Epic has been, you know, the clinic that I've worked at since I graduated. It's my family's practice. And the way, I guess, the population that I treat is very different. You know, one of the first things that I kind of wanted to focus on is, you know, my target demographic. Who do I want to basically focus all of my efforts on? And the thing is, it's like, you know, what do I love? It's like, you know, I enjoy strength training. I enjoy working out. I enjoy that aspect, you know, treating athletes. And so that was kind of my focus. It's like, okay, I want to focus purely on that. It's like, you know, there's a million people out there that you can treat. And I just thought really focusing on one specific audience or one specific demographic is kind of the most important thing you could do. If you want to be an expert at something, it's like you need to be very specific. And so that's kind of where Movement Matters came in. It's like I treat a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of CrossFitters, power lifters, strongmen. And so the simple answer is I didn't really want to make Epic about that because Epic does so much more. You know, they treat kids, you know, they treat geriatric patients, they treat a wide range of patients. And I don't want to alienate all of those people because I choose to focus purely on, you know, fitness related things. And so it's not, so I guess the long answer to a short question is, I wanted to be able to focus my efforts on that without affecting the business in a negative way. And so that's just kind of how it got started. Started off with Instagram. And then from there, it's just kind of grown. You know, we're doing like some apparel stuff now, some clothing, some mobility products like Voodoo Floss type of stuff, mobility balls and things like that. And so it just kind of caught on social media and just started growing that way. And so it's just kind of something that I've done to brand myself apart from the clinic, mm-hmm. even though I still work for the clinic. But it's something that I'm also expanding to Movement Matters clinics and, you know, outside of Epic.
Okay. I've always wondered that and I've never asked it. Cool. Now I know. You know, it's funny 'cause like when we came here on the last one, I talked to Dan about, how when we both showed up to this town of Sacramento, how I was out in Granite Bay, which is what? I was 20 minutes away from your office to almost 30?
Yes.
About 30 minutes away. And and like we both had a very similar growth, I would say, like as far as like the past, I guess a couple years that we were in practice, 4 years or so.
Yeah.
Like we both started off, we were just like, okay, we're getting our feet wet. But very, very slowly as our practices grew, our community was like very small. It started to get a lot tighter. You know, sure. Like everybody knew who you were that I worked with and almost vice versa.
Exactly.
Which I thought was really cool because then it was like, you know, even when I left, it's like, well, now you go see Dan or even the shared patients that we had. You know, it's like, oh, they're up north today. They're just going to come see me or whatever. And it was really cool and very like a very mutual respect when it came to like just helping the patient.
Right. And, you know, I think that's long been an issue for most people, too, is like they see everybody as competition. And, you know, and on some business level, that may be true. But it's like there's a million chiropractors on our block. There's one literally right next door to us. But it's like what he does really does not affect me that much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the mindset that a lot of these people have. It's just this like scarcity mindset. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what has worked well for us. Cause it's like, you know, we'd work at certain CrossFit events together. We treat very similar patients. It's like, we're looking for the same types of athletes. But it's like, I never viewed you as competition. And it's like, even though we were chasing the same kind of thing, it never really felt like competition. One, it's like, you know, you were not anywhere close to us. And I think even if you were, I still wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a problem with the way people view the world. It's like, you know, there's a million people out there. There's so many people that need help. And it's like the percentage of people that we're actually able to help is very, very small.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the kind of thing. It's like, you know, rather than having this divided approach, it's like I think working together, it's better for the patient, it's better for the profession, and it's like you don't hate everybody around you. It's like if you're constantly worried about what the guy next door to you is doing, it's like you're gonna hate him.
Yeah. What do you think is the, you know, with Instagram and like the way that information is being spread out, you know, like as far as like content goes, right? What do you think is a hardship that's coming along with that content that's being put out there on Instagram or Facebook, YouTube? Like what do you see happening in the future with that kind of information? Like do you think it's a healthy thing that people learn something or they just saw a video of one day and they thought that was smart, so they just kind of redid it and then put a lot of words underneath it? Do you think that stuff is valuable? Do you think that that people should be seeking that type of information? Like what do you feel about that?
You know, Instagram and social media, there's a lot of benefit to it. You know, there's certain things that I love about it, but there's certain things that I hate about it too. The things that I think are great is it's a very easy way to get a message out. If you're trying to educate on some topic, it's very easy to do. And it's like, it's very easy to grow when you're kind of spreading that message. And so I think that's, and what's interesting too is with that whole concept, people have built entirely new businesses. This is like, we're in this time now where there's people who are going to physical therapy school and chiropractic school, and it's like they don't even practice. It's like what they're doing is they're building an online following and then selling them shit. And it's like everybody has this idea. It's like, okay, I'm going to build my online following, my social media status, and then I'm going to monetize it. And it's like, I think a lot of that stuff is pretty transparent. It's like you look at how many fitness, you know, Instagram models there are out there, and it's like they all sell something. If you have, you know, a couple hundred thousand followers, I promise you they sell something. Mm-hmm. So it's like whether it's like these fitness bands to kind of go through these like, you know, banded glute workouts or whatever it is, or flat tummy tea, it's like they're always trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of my biggest complaints of it is it's, you know, there's a lot of predators in it. And I think you have to sift through a lot of bullshit to find quality content. And you see the other thing too, it's
Toddler.
And then the other thing too is, you know, I think there's a lot of great things about social media. It's like, you know, there's, I follow a lot of rehab based people, you know, whether they're PTs or chiropractors, and it's like, you know, they're posting, you know, weekly content on, you know, some sort of movements or whatever it is. And I think it's a great resource to learn things. But I think there's also danger in that same thing where if you are following somebody and they're telling you, okay, these are the 7 easy steps to kind of get out of back pain, it's like, there's a problem with that. It's like, because it's not that simple. And these same 7 exercises are not going to fix all complaints.
Yeah.
It's like, there's such a wide spectrum of things that could be playing a role in why you have pain. And there's no possible way, you know, running this playbook from this asshole on Instagram is going to fix everything. And then what they do next is, oh, they come into your office and it's like, oh, you know, I learned this from so-and-so. And it's like, now I have this problem.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they think they're an expert on something. It's like, okay, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that in mind, I mean, when you view Instagram, I mean, when you look at it as a whole or social media, it's like, do you see it as more of a negative thing?
I personally see, because like I've been posting a little bit more on mine, and I put something up and it's just videos and highlights of things that I've done, what my patients have done. And so like I'll take tidbits of there, but I'm not putting like extreme, I guess, content, I would call it, right behind it, where someone should be practicing it to fix an issue, right?
Right.
That's definitely not the purpose behind any of my posts. And I think that when I see that these people are putting that kind of thing out there, like you need to be doing these 5 simple stretches to do so you know your low back doesn't hurt anymore. I look at that and I think that it's somebody that really just has no understanding as to how the body works. So I think it's just a bunch of bullshit. And even if it's a, you know, I hate to call out names, but one that really just irks me is Vinny Rehab. I just can't stand watching that guy's videos. He's very smug. He's a cocky son of a bitch. And and he's
not to pull any punches.
Yeah, but dude, fuck that guy. That's someone that's trying to constantly be, I guess in quotations, original.
Right.
Right. Well, Jess, what was the name of that book you told me I should be reading? The original book, being original. Okay, so this book, The Outlier. So basically what that book is about, here, come over here real quick. We're gonna have a guest commentator, my beautiful girlfriend, the Jessica Tarleton.
That's me.
Okay, explain, come over here real quick. Explain what this book is about.
It talks about how there are only so many people that are able to create something new, and then everybody else originates from that. So an outlier would be somebody like, would be Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, people like that who created something that nobody else already has.
Eli Whitney.
Yeah, and then people that...
people are recreating the
wheel.
Yeah,
people are recreating the wheel. They're reinventing the wheel.
So that's a book that I want to read eventually. But, you know, it can't help but think about this guy's trying to do something that's so odd looking and complex that people will look at it and think it's sexy. Like, that's so cool looking. It's so different. But really, in the end, a grand scheme of things, it isn't. It's right. He's taking a very simplistic idea and trying to make it look different so that he can be unique. But really, he's not unique at all. And guy.
I think, you know, with his company, you know, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I think with his company, you know, there's certain things they do well. But one of the things that they do strategically is they make the treatment and what they provide very convoluted in the way that it's like they have physical therapists that work there in his clinic. They have chiropractors, they have massage therapists, and it's each person brings such a different skill set. It makes it difficult to provide the same type of treatment for every patient when you come from such a different background. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a problem with that. I think there's things that are beneficial about that, but at the same time, you're watering down each profession. So if you go and you get treated by a chiropractor and they're able to adjust you, it's like, that's great. It provides value. But if you're also seeing a massage therapist, it's like they can't assess you. So it's like you're missing out on some of the key components of what going to see that practitioner is even about. So it's like, I don't understand from a business side why you would choose to water down each profession, other than the fact that it makes it a little bit easier to kind of fill your employee list.
Mm-hmm.
It's other thing too is, you know, you can hire people on a lower pay scale based upon
their qualifications.
On their qualifications. It's a great way to put it. And so so with that in mind, it's like I think from a treatment standpoint, I think that's a problem. And I think there's certain things they do very well. They're very good at branding. They're very good at making something seem new and innovative, but whether or not it kind of fulfills that, I think, is a different question.
Yeah.
But I think all of the guys that are involved in that fall within that same kind of boat. And I think a lot of the stuff that they're doing is just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to sell this guru type of shit that really is not that special. And I'm not saying what they do is not good. I'm not saying he's not a good practitioner or none of the people that work for him. I don't really know. I've never been treated by any of them, and I don't have a ton of experience with that. But what I do know is when somebody is posting all these things that just are so far out there, and they're trying to make it seem like they are this guru, the end-all, be-all of some certain thing, it's like I think there's a lot of questions that come up.
Yeah, and I think it's just the originality part that I really just, it irks me. Because it's like, I see it too much where when people think that they're doing something that's very unique, but they honestly probably just haven't opened their eyes enough to see that there's like probably about 1,000 other people that are putting the exact same material out.
Exactly.
And at the same time, you didn't just randomly come out of thin air and think of this thing. Right. You learned it somewhere.
Right.
Where did you learn that? You learned it from someone.
Well, Arosti does the same thing. So mm-hmm. I'm going to throw Arosti in the same kind of ship. So Arosti does the same thing. You know, they hire PTs. They hire chiropractors. Mm-hmm. I don't think they hire massage therapists, but they do the same kind of thing. It's like they provide an Arosti treatment or whatever the hell they call it. But when you really look under the hood, what they're doing is not unique. You know, they're doing a lot of, you know, fascial distortion model. You know, they incorporate a lot of other techniques and they kind of rework it, train all their staff in these techniques, which they stole from other people. And then they brand it as, oh, you know, this is an Arosti treatment or a myo detox treatment. It's like, but at the end of the day, it's like you didn't develop any of that shit.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, they put on courses, too. It's like, okay, let me sell you this training program. And it's like, I think anytime you have a certification program, I think there's a reason why. The certification means nothing. Right. I think anytime you start to value these certifications, I think you're more into it for egotistical reasons than for actually picking up a skill set. It's like when you see these people with like FMS, SFMA, ART after their name, it's like that stuff's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like it's not that those techniques aren't good or those assessment tools aren't good, but it's like when you have 30 letters after your name, it's like you're doing it for the wrong reasons. It's like the only person that you're impressing with that shit is yourself.
For sure. Yeah, people think that. I mean, I've never had a patient. Or actually, I take it back. I've had a couple, but it's very rare that I get patients that ask me, "What are you certified in?"
You know, nobody cares.
Nobody really cares. They just, how are you going to get me better? How are you going to get me feeling good? And it's like, okay, maybe I'm going to use something that I learned from one of those seminars to get this person well. But I'm not going to sit there and be like, it's a good thing I'm this certified so that I can do this thing to you because you'd be in trouble.
Right.
You know, it's like that's a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, I feel like we struggle, or at least personally, I struggle with that idea that you just brought up is like the selling thing. is, you know, these guys come up with their own little program to bring in or even sell towards, I think, students is the main crew that people like to go after, because they have that that student loan money that they don't even know what to do with.
Right, and they're so very impressionable.
And very impressionable. They don't know what's right from wrong. And they, so they're just going to go through it, and they're going to pay for it because they think it looks sexy and looks cool. And that's something that, you know, we've always thought that we wanted to get into, is like, we want to better the profession somehow. We don't give a shit how much money we make. We just want practitioners to know what to do.
Right.
You know, like when someone comes in and they, let's say they, it's like you, for instance, what do you do with that labrum issue? What's your, like, what's your, not, a, I wouldn't even call it a protocol. Like, how do you assess this thing? And what's the, what should you not do to it?
And so are you asking specifically what I do for my shoulders?
No, no, no. Or, I'm just saying in general. Saying like,
in general.
Yeah, oh, like okay. That's like, that's the type of stuff that I felt like when we were going through school, we got exposed to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At the same time, it wasn't 100% geared towards rotator cuff pathology. You know, that's a, let's say, an infraspinatus problem. This is what you need to do. Here's the gold standard stuff that you should look for.
Right.
You know, oh, restore range of motion, restore strength. Like, what does that even look like for some people?
Right.
And what happens when you have a sport-specific person come in? Not just like the, you know, 55-year-old like lady that just walked in who just randomly hurt her arm, and next thing you know, she has a rotator cuff tear, but she has no idea how that even happened because she's not active. Sure, the standard TheraBand stuff is going to work pretty darn well for that patient. But you have that, let's say it's the same person, the 55-year-old lady who loves powerlifting and she bench presses more than her body weight, those bands are probably not going to get that person well, and it might not get her back underneath a barbell.
Right.
So now what do you do?
And you know, I think that's it's all about, you know, what is the stimulus? You know, what is, you know, what are you trying to change? Where is the adaptation taking place? And it's, you know, in the rehab world, it's all about finding enough stimulus to kind of create that adaptation without causing too much irritation, I guess, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, finding that kind of entry point to start a change, to create that change without pissing everything off. And so, but I mean, you know, to take it back a step too, it's like, when you look at certifications and all these different kind of trainings that you can take after school, it's like graduating is like your base level of education. It's like if you think you've learned everything when you graduate, you're going to be very, very surprised once you're in practice. And I think that should be, it's like a license to drive. It's like just because you pass that DMV test does not mean that you're a good driver. It just means that you're capable enough to actually learn how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to kill somebody. And it's the same thing with, I think, education. It's like when you graduate, it's like that's where you start learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's when like the real education takes place. And I think these all these educational programs and, you know, certifications, I think they're great. But I think you can't lose sight of, you know, what the whole goal of all this stuff is. It's like, what are you doing to add to your skill set? And it's not about how many things you can hang on your wall. It's like, I don't even have a single diploma or certification hung on my office. Not a single one. And it's because I don't care about that stuff. And I don't think most patients care about that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like what they care about is the communication, the interaction you have with them. It's like they trust you. They don't give a shit what's on your wall. If they believe in your skill set, they believe that you are the person to help them, they'll do what you say. You know, they'll follow your kind of plan. And I think that's where most people don't understand is focus more on treating patients and less on conditions. And I think in school they teach you how, okay, this is how you address this condition. But it's like they don't teach you how to talk to patients. They don't teach you how to actually deal with the whole human interaction side. And that's, I think that's one of the most important sides of treatment. It's like you're dealing with people. Talk to them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if you can't look someone in the eye and say, hi, I'm Joe Cooperman.
Right.
You're fucked.
You're going to have some problems.
You're going to have some problems.
And I think that's what one of the biggest differences, what makes somebody successful, is not necessarily, you know, if you're a chiropractor, the best adjustment. You know, there's plenty of guys in town that I can adjust you just fine. I don't think I'm like this far superior adjuster, but it's like the reason they come back is because they trust me. And I think that's what's going to make your business successful, or going to make you, you know, able to kind of reach more people and help more people, is your ability to kind of connect with people. And it's like, the second you lose sight of that, your business is going to fail.
Yeah. Where do you see Movement Matters going in like the next couple of years?
You know, this is one of those things that I've thought a lot about, and I don't. Everybody says you should have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and you should really be focusing on where you see yourself or where you see your business going. And I think that's important. But with Movement Matters, you know, it started off with just wanting to be able to reach a certain population, to be able to provide a service within this kind of set of guidelines. And so ideally, I want to be able to expand. You know, I want to be able to reach more people, to be able to kind of help more people in a wider, you know, area, geographic region, if you want to call it that. And so, you know, we started off with our one clinic now. We've been in practice with a single clinic since, you know, 79. And so the thing that I've always wanted to do is to be able to expand. And so that's kind of where we're going with it now. You know, we added a second clinic in Folsom that we're working on. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's like, you know, if things work out and I'm able to kind of expand that a bit and things take off, then it's like, you know, just kind of keep going from there. It's like, I don't have any major goals of, you know, making this thing like a franchise and, you know, hitting every major city with it, like a lot of clinics are doing, like the Joint and Arasti. It's like they've really spread. I don't necessarily want to do that. But, you know, I do want to be able to expand the business to be able to help more people.
Locally, right?
Yeah, local.
I want to take over like Sacramento.
And that's kind of what I'm focusing on. You know, we're also doing like some apparel stuff and some products. But again, that's, I think the thought behind most of that stuff is just to be able to provide a better quality product to my patients. Like, I don't have any aspirations of making, you know, that side of things like this huge separate company. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it takes off, then great. But it's, you know, I'm not placing a ton of energy in that that aspect on growing that.
You work with a lot of pretty cool people that are local to Sacramento. So why don't you kind of touch on some of those people? I'm sure some of them wouldn't even mind if you drop their names or whatever. But like, who you think that has helped your business kind of grow and given you some insight on maybe how to approach things differently, not just from like a, let's say, treatment out of there, but like more from like a personal aspect or even just as a brand aspect?
You know, without like name dropping, I don't want to sit here and name off all the people that I think have made an impact on my practice or have helped me grow. You know, I've worked with, you know, a ton of different athletes that have really helped grow my business, just because, you know, everybody knows who they are. And by working with them, you know, I think it creates that buy-in for people who don't necessarily know me. Mm-hmm. And so rather than just going down that kind of rabbit hole of naming all of these people, I'd say it's less about, you know, athletes and more about just good, I think, good people that I've run into that have just wanted to genuinely help. It's like, I've met so many people that because of the interaction that we've made and the connection that we've made, like in friends, they just literally go above and beyond to kind of help my business in different ways. And so I think it's more about, you know, the collective, you know, so many people doing everything that they can to help me grow, whether it's like putting me on TV or, you know, different TV shows, you know, Amazon stuff. And it's, I don't even know how to phrase this. So I think it's less about, you know, specific athletes that I've worked with that have helped grow my practice just from like a notoriety standpoint, and more about like the friendships that I've made. So, you know, I've met so many great people, you know, in this business, and like I would say a large percentage of my friends have kind of been made through, you know, just working on people, you know, meeting people out, you know, at different events, or, you know, whether it's like training at the gym. And I think people when they believe in you and they believe in what you do, they want to help you. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have people who have kind of put faith in me and kind of gone out on a limb to kind of help me. And, you know, there's been so many people and companies that have kind of done that. It's like, you know, Caffeine and Kilos helps me out all the time. And, you know, Charlie from there has gone above and beyond to really do everything that he can to kind of improve my business. It's like just even like simple things. It's like, you know, having, you know, discussions with him. It's like, hey, you know, I'm having this problem or I have this idea. You know, what do you think about it? And it's like having a good support system, I think, is so critical to being successful. And I think being in this business has allowed me that, just because I've met so many great people, and they, you know, they believe in the product, they believe in me. And so I think I've been fortunate enough to kind of have that. But it's not necessarily about one specific person that has grown my business or anything like that. You know, I could spend the next half hour talking about people that have helped me. But I think it's just more about, you know, the friendships and things that I've, the relationships that I've built.
Cool. So I think this is a good place to axe it. How do people, thanks for doing this with me, first off, and letting me stay in your home for the weekend. How do people find you?
Yeah, so simplest Instagram, movement MVMT _matters, and movementmatters.com. Other than that, you know, if you have any questions or anything, dude, I'd love to talk.
Cool.
You know, hit me up.
Yeah, to all my Sacramento friends, this is the dude I've been talking about since I've left, and you guys all reach out to me and say, who am I supposed to go see now? It's Dan. This is him. So hopefully this reaches all of them, and they can, you know, get a good mix of, you know, how you speak. And, you know, I've always told them, I'm like, trust me, it's going to be a good choice that you go over there, because I really just don't refer to anybody else out, like, around Sacramento. It's like, there's no point, because I know that it was really important for me to find a therapist who just is the all-in-one package. You know, I don't want to have to spread out the treatment to be like, go see this DC because he's just going to adjust you, and go see this massage therapist because they can do some good soft tissue work, and go to this PT out in this area because they're really skilled with exercise. Instead of seeing three, I want you to go see this one guy and he'll determine what you should do, right? So I'm super grateful for all the help you've given all the people, because it's always good feedback and they're all stoked whenever they go see you.
Well, I appreciate that. And so, I mean, the amount of help and support that I've gotten from you is, you know, it's definitely made a huge impact. It's like, you know, when you move to Arizona, it's like, you know, I'm obviously very sad, you know, losing a friend and all that stuff. And, you know, but from the business standpoint, it's like, you've done everything that you could to help me. And so it's like, that's something I can, you know, I'm forever going to be grateful for. And so, you know, I appreciate you kind of sending me people. And it's like, I've met so many great people, and everybody speaks so highly of you. And so that's the thing. So it's like, when somebody comes to me from you, it's like, I want to go above and beyond, because I know they've had that level of care. And it's like, I want to be able to continue that.
It's cool. I appreciate that. Thank you. Before we both start crying, we're signing off. So, all right. Thanks for listening, guys.